They may look strong, but for goodness sake, I want this scripture demonstrated today. Are you getting my point? And just two people in the team, they will join their hands and say, Lord, victory is of the Lord. We are asking you for victory. Then a few scriptures will drop into their heads. They will come out, declare that those scriptures upon the pitch. Why the world will be watching? American basketballers will want to leap into the air. They will slip and fall. And Nigeria will beat them by one goal. It will be a case, listen to this, of David and Goliath. Are you getting my point? That's how it is. David went with the victory of God in his mind. Listen, the word was there for Saul. Saul didn't unite with it. The word was there for the whole of Israel. None of them united with it. But one little boy united with the word of victory. And listen, if you came into the pitch against United States Dream Team, you will win. Are you getting my point? What I want to emphasize about prophecy there is not prediction. Prophecy is like this. I give you my will. Use it or don't use it. If you use it, that which I said will come to pass. If you don't, it will appear as if I never said anything. You know, there's something I want to explain to you. I began it on Tuesday. Let me explain something. Actually, what brought this to my mind, I began to meditate because I was studying the Old Testament. Now, listen to this, though. Listen to this. I was on the Old Testament, and something struck me. You've heard me say this several times, that most of the Gospels preached about physical current-day Israel. It's a fat lie. Yeah, I'm not going to discuss it now, but that's a matter of fact. It's a fat lie. I've told you, if you want to go on pilgrimage, it's good. In fact, were it not that I have preaching engagement in 2 weeks' time, I told my wife I wanted to go to Ghana. There's something I wanted to take me to Ghana. So, I mean, when I got that invitation for that thing, there was something that was happening. Oh, God, that is, I went through my phone. And as I was about to get to that calendar, I was almost prophesying upon the calendar that shift that program, shift to another weekend. So, this is already stuck there. We can't do anything about it. All right? I'm going to preach. But I want to say that it's sightseeing. Amen? What did I say? If you want to go to Israel to go and sightsee, to see sights, to go and see things, it's good. But if you feel spiritual after coming from there, you should slap yourself. Give yourself a nice slap because you have been deceived. Let me warn you, there's more than one tomb of Jesus Christ there, I hope you know. Ah, who was it that brought me a photograph to show me? One day I said it here. The one brother who came back and showed me two different tombs of Jesus Christ. It's money. Hey. Oh, God. The Last Supper was eaten in a room that will be shown to you depending on who you paid to show it to you. There are different rooms in which Jesus ate his Last Supper. Some of you don't know what is going on. And Christians will go there and be rubbing the sand. Listen to me. Ordinary geography tells you that weathering, it's not weathering they call it, has removed the sand that Jesus walked on. That was 2,000 and something years ago. Shall I tell you the truth? Nobody knows where they buried him. They don't know. The Romans destroyed everything. I hope you know. They said that this is the house where Mary poured oil on the feet of Jesus. If you believe that, you need oil on your head. The Romans have wasted everything. The way they did not waste, a lot of them, weather has destroyed it. You think God likes monuments? You think God likes monuments like that? So you'll be worshiping. Listen, you're worshiping nonsense. One of the reasons why he went and hid Moses, he knew what would happen. He said, Moses, just lie down here, die. Let me cover you. They will never find you. You know why? Those guys knew how to embalm people. They were coming from Egypt. Moses died first. They go embalm you. Eh? Anybody has a problem, you go to the shrine of Moses and go and pray. Anyway, let me just leave that. All right, I'm digressing again. What's my problem? Let me sit on my message. Say, Pastor, sit on your message. Thank you. That's encouraging. The Lord is good. So what I'm trying to say, most of that one, na joke. A lot of interpretations concerning Israel, modern day Israel, and biblical prophecy. I have seen it, a lot of them just stretching things far. I will not sit down discussing that. What came to me was I thought about it and said, many of the things that the Lord said concerning Israel, concerning Judah, physically, they did not come to pass, and they will never come to pass. Pastor Banky, how dare you? Prophecies and predictions are two different things. You say, what am I talking about? All that God gave were his prophecies, his will. And let me say something which is so important about God's will. The fulfillment is not automatic. The fulfillment is not guaranteed unless it is united with faith in the heart of the person it was sent to. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. Please, follow me very closely. There's something I want to explain to you. The Bible says clearly that in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are what? King James says they are yea and amen. That is, they are confirmed and they are established. They are established in Christ Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Let me summarize like this. When Jesus was walking, he was a summary, the totality of everything that God ever said to mankind. And that's why one of the names that was used to describe in Revelation was the Word of God. That is, there's no utterance that God ever uttered that's not inside him. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And that Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt amongst us. Now listen to this clearly. Don't miss what I'm about to say. He said he came unto his own. What happened? Let me put it like this. You didn't get it. Isaiah's prophecies came unto Israel, and Israel did not receive it. But as many as received the prophecies of Isaiah, to them he gave the power to have those words manifested in their lives. That is, if everything Isaiah said about Judah, about Jerusalem, does not ever happen physically to that land in Palestine, it has not made the word of God of no effect. You know why? When Israel as a nation rejected it, God said, don't worry. As many as received it, it will come to pass in their lives. Let me say it again. He said, he came unto his own, and what happened? They did not receive him. That is, the word directed to from people, the people rejected it. So what did God do? God said, don't worry about it. That word is open for as many as we receive it. What am I saying? If you see, comfort ye, comfort you, Jerusalem. Say kindly, comfort ye, my people. Say kindly unto Jerusalem. All right? Speak kindly to her. Say to her that her warfare has been accomplished. Listen to me. It's a prophecy. Those who dwelt in Jerusalem, if the prophet shows up, and he says, comfort ye, my people. Relax. It's going to be okay. Are you getting my point? If he speaks to them, and they say, who are you? Who sent you? And they say, I am a servant of God. They say, give us a stone. And they stone him or crucify him. Their arrest has been crucified. Don't know what I heard I said. Their peace has been destroyed. Oh, please, I pray you get my point. That is, if he comes unto his own, and his own rejects him, it's good. Why? Because so as many as will receive that word, it is to them that that word will be fulfilled in their lives. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. I've heard somebody say, some people say that God is not, you know, talking about Israel, physical Israel today, and Jerusalem, that they don't have faith in God. He said, listen, God is not doing what he's going to do because of their faith. He's doing it because of his own faithfulness. I said, keep quiet. You've never heard that the word preached did not profit them, not having been mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. Listen to what prophecies are. If God prophesies to Jerusalem, you will be delivered out of captivity. If nobody rises up, hey, are you getting what I'm saying? If nobody rises up to take hold of that word and use that word to walk out of captivity, they will die in captivity as if God never said anything. I hope you know what I'm saying. You know what happened was I began to study through the scriptures. I will read things. Actually, a few weeks ago, I said, Lord, I'm having some confusion here. It was almost as if this book was poetry. Shakespeare. Just talk. No effect. Until the Holy Spirit said, oh boy, look, you've missed one point. The word preached doesn't profit until it is mixed with faith. Then it struck me that it says, surely the Lord God does nothing until he has revealed them to his servants, the prophets. You know, I told you before, a country like Nigeria or any country in the world, it will never get better just because it's tired of being bad. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You put meat or fish on the table, after a while, I say, I don't rot rich now, let me just become good. No, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Except salt is introduced, rottenness is persistent. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, when God came up to Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy them. And Abraham said, what if we have 10 people? At the end of it, why did God settle for 10? Or whatever number he settled for. Let me say it to you. It's simply because that was the only hope for the land. That is, the rottenness will only be reversed. Are you getting my point? When the 10 begins to take hold of certain issues. And God said, well, as long as they are there, there is hope. And one thing about God is that once there is hope, he gives people time. God does not destroy except there's no hope. When God said to the Amalekites, said concerning the Amalekites, go and destroy them, what he meant is that the very fiber of their genes, every connection they have spiritually, in their souls, in their body, is wicked. And there is nothing that can be done to redeem these people. Save the rest of mankind, wipe them out. Please, I'm bringing an issue here, and follow me very closely. All right? Talking about prophecies. Why God gave prophecies is so that we will use them as in warfare to... Now listen, he said the kingdom of God suffers what? Violence. When you see bombing going off, happening in Nigeria, bombs going off and things like that are happening, it is a fight for the soul of the nation. Are you getting my point? There are prophetic words that have been released. Let me give a very simple one. For example, he said, I'm the Lord. No, how did he say it again? Oh, anyway, what I want to bring out is God said that I am the one that I make wars cease. It's a prophetic word. That word is hanging out there, but people are fighting. Until people arise in the midst of the fight and lay claim to that word of God and begin to prophesy it upon the land. That's why he doesn't do anything without giving, first of all, an understanding and revelation to his servants, the prophets. Then they begin to fight with the words, with the prophecy that God has issued. Prophesying is not information, it's warfare. I don't know what I hear what I said. It's not as if I'm informing you like, Nigeria go good, your country go good, your life go good, your family go good, your wife go good, your husband go good. It's not information. We are fighting to bring those things to existence. And what the devil does every day is to give you cause. Listen, the devil doesn't have power. The kind of power we think. We think he has. People often say, we discussed it before. We're not talking about we overcome. The only thing he does, he has, these are his methods. He accuses. He tempts. I gave a number of them. He deceives. Thank you. And listen to me, most, if including Christians, most Southerners in Nigeria today, they are deceived. All you need to do is read their comments about these things in Nigeria. You know they are deceived. And what's happening? They are beginning to fight on the side of the devil. They don't realize that the solution is not politics. It's not the appointment or disappointment. What's the opposite of appointment? Of whoever is national security advisor. They don't realize that that's not what the issue is. They are deceived. So they say things like, this thing has to end in this country, otherwise we are going to divide it. The devil says, thank you. The devil says what? Thank you. Then they hear another bomb went up. Boom! We said it. We are going to divide it. And the devil says what? Thank you. It's warfare. You know what warfare is? Things that are tough. Let me explain something. Let me give an example. You are married. Are you married? No, you are not. Anyway, you are married. Say amen. Say, prophecy, this guy won't miss this thing now. Now, as a married man, for example, there's no spirituality and discipline in it if your wife always does what is good for you to always speak positively about her. What's the big deal? You need to be a wicked soul not to do that. Since you are not wicked, you are just a normal person. Even if you are not too spiritual, you are just a normal person. If anytime you get home, she goes, oh, honey, how was today? She gives you a hug, a kiss, everything. Ah-ah. She just say, God of miracle, now my papa, you know, like they say. It's not warfare, is it? Let me tell you what warfare is. When after she had displayed Jezebelness and witchcraft, you remember, all right? And therefore, you have to declare. You know, the Bible says that they brought her to Adam. And then he said, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He now said, a woman shall she be called. Are you getting my point? And go and read the previous verses. He said, whatever Adam said the name of every living being was, that name was his name. Hey, I've always told you, you are very careless. You don't know how to manage money. You are spendthrift. That's what you talk too much. Everything will happen. You told the whole street. A woman she shall be called. Whatever Adam says the name of the living creature, that was his name. Therefore, your woman shall be careless, spendthrift. Talk, 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 talk. Why? It's the word that you issued forth. What is the fight? I told you before, faith is what? A fight. Fight the good fight of faith. It's boxing your mouth. Don't say it. I know you want to say it. That's the fight. Are you getting my point? This is the... Oh, God, I was thinking about it today. Do you know one of the greatest fights in life is a fight of the woman, not even the man? Listen, loving, I've discovered. Oh, God, I'm going to marriage again. Loving a woman is far easier than a woman submitting to a man. Even if you don't love her, you will get erection one night. Now they are calling at the end, though. All you single boys, close your ears. Apostle. Am I telling lies? I'm not lying. You did a boom before, then you just wake up. Oh boy. Olaiga. The quarrel go end that day. Loving her is easy. There's a pressure to love. So you quickly forget. Okay, forget now, forget now. It's something else you are looking for. All this forget, forget now. You're not that patient, you're not that loving. You're looking for something. And it's in the word of God, you can have it. It's true. I was like, Pastor, I don't believe you said that. Better believe I said so. Because it's the truth. Submission? No. Forget. Forget that. I don't know the need. I don't know the day the need for submission comes up. The pressure in the soul all the time is rebellion. No, I'm serious. The natural thing for any human, listen, let me tell you something. For you guys, so you know, the woman is just like you. He's an adult, grown up. Some of them are MDs of banks. Look, some of the biggest Indian companies are run by women. They go to school, they get PhD, they are professors too. Then you will now say, forsake your understanding. Renounce your father's house. And your husband will love you. When Jesus came to a man and said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. That's exactly what you have told that woman. Sell all your profession and give to this idiot. Let me summarize it. Tell your neighbor, it's a fight. Tell your neighbor, it's a fight. I discovered it's a fight. You have to wake up by a mirror. As a woman, my husband is wise. In the name of Jesus, my husband is wise. I'm a blessed woman. I'm a child of God. If I must submit to somebody, he is wise. Listen, forget the foolishness he has practiced. You are that God, though, this guy is wise. He's wise. He's wise. I know God will support you. He will give him wisdom. He will give you occasion to understand that he's wise. You know, something happened the other day. It's very funny. My wife won't do me shakara. That was a few days ago. Chima, where are you? That's when she sent you text directly. Normally, she will call me first. I wanted to do me shakara. I said, oh, my husband, eh? Okay, leave it. And I said, Chima, please, I'm arriving tomorrow. Chima called me. I said, okay, madam, come that you're right. But me, I'm in Enugu. I told Israel. I said, you see, God is good. God has a way of ensuring that you can't listen. You know, I'm your husband. I was anointed to bless you. I was anointed to give you direction. I was anointed to make your life good. I know specifically God blessed my wife with me that she might live long and prosper and increase. So I smile. I said, Israel, see what they tell you. I just, you know, say, Pastor, you're a blessed man. Say it now. I'm a blessed man. I just whipped out my phone. I said, Namdi. Say, yes, sir. I said, my wife is arriving tomorrow. She needs two vehicles to pick her from the airport. You will arrange that. He said, no problem, sir. I hung up the phone. I sent her a text. Namdi, we'll meet you at the airport. Say, Pastor, you're blessed. Say it now. What I'm going to say is that, listen, God will cause such things to happen when you have from the onset. You don't marry a man to test him. The time of testing is when he proposed. You go test that time. Once you don't marry and finish, oh boy, you don't marry him. I was telling Bishop today that if I want to do wedding, it will be like court initiation. 30 minutes you are repeating and eating things. You go, they talk, you go, they chop. I will give you 10 holy communions. Because you must step into it with your heart totally in it. I'm talking about prophecy. There is no man. Look, you know what I found out in life? The only nice men are morons. All the men that women say, that guy is nice, they are fools. I'm telling you, listen. Look. Oh, God. God forgive me that I use what. Look, listen. Oh, God, I know what I'm telling you. If you see any guy, every woman, they say that guy is a nice guy. Just know that guy is a. He's not going anywhere in life. He's messed up thoroughly. Go and check it. Oh, God. I know what I'm saying. The only other guys that women point out as being nice and they all like and he's really nice, he's already married. The only person that knows he's not nice is his wife. The other girls, the other young women, they just see her, you know, you see her from outside. The guy, they dress sharp all the time. When they need money, he gives them. If they have a problem, he listens. So they think he's nice. Listen, the only person we know say this guy is not nice is the one that married him. All the other ones, they know how far. If you see a guy that is single, and every lady really knows that he's nice, go and check it. That guy does not have a brain. I know what I'm saying. You know why? This is what they do. But let me give you a practical example. When we were in university, there's one sister, our friend, was in our fellowship. She will come to you. Here, go. You guys, that's my friend and I, Yapos, you guys are not nice. Just they abuse us anyhow. He said, look at that guy. He's very sweet. Oh, that brother is sweet. That brother is sweet. That brother is sweet. So my friend will pinch me. Say, that brother is sweet. He's sweet. How many of these sweet, sweet brothers don't propose to you? You get married them. It's sweet, sweet, sweet. All the ones you are falling in love with are hard men like us. I bet let's hear what. Oh, God. I'm going to help me to see what I'm saying. You know the truth? Eh? Women, listen. Not women, everybody. The truth is that that niceness and softness is not compatible with being a husband. And intuitively, the women know it. A man that allows them to have their way all the time, most of the time, they are afraid of marrying him. That's true. I know a lady, good friend of mine, we used to work together when I was in those days. We're very friendly, we're very, very close, you know. We used to gist extensively. So I knew every guy pursuing her. And I knew the ones she wanted to marry or the ones, you know, and why not. So if I told her story in the book, should I say yes? There was one story I didn't tell, should I say yes? There was one guy that loved her properly. That guy chased her persistently for nothing less than 4 years. And it was dedicated. I don't mean, you know, some of you, they chase small today, you forget tomorrow. He said, you see me last time, you didn't come. I go Bible study, I believe me. You know, that kind of chasing. You know what I'm saying? I've not labeled for labor, you know, under labor for Richard. Hey, this guy was laboring in the house of labor for Richard. So one day I asked her, I said, oh girl, come. See, you are getting me confused. You've told me this, and that about this guy. So what is the problem now? I said, if you ask my counsel, marry him more. This is the way forward. And this guy, not be small guy, by that time he was about to qualify as a consultant surgeon. Now you say, that's banky, you know. This was the illustration she gave me. Now, I gave one of the illustrations in the book. This is another one she gave me. She said, this is how it is. We are going on the road like this. That day we were talking, she and I were walking. He said, you see the way we are going now? If I tell him I don't like him being on this side, she comes to the other. He said, do you know he will cross over without asking questions? That was what she told me. Now, you now say that, maybe the guy should be a bit firmer. That's, you know, the interesting part? She and I, we used to go to church together, you know. We'll be going. I said, let's pass here. She said, no, this is a better road. I said, well, I know it's a shorter road, but this is a more, because this other one is crowded, you know, you'll be bumping into students. This one, just walk on a normal road, coming from church. She said, no, this is a better road. I said, this is a better one. Do you know, there and there, we will separate. She will go this way. I will go this way. We'll unite again in front and continue our journey. How more stubborn can a woman get? Yet, the same stubborn woman was not willing to marry a man who couldn't put her in her proper place. Why was saying that when you say somebody nice guy? No, these women, they don't want to marry you, Mr. Nice Guy. They won't marry. They'll be calling you nice, 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 nice. I'm going somewhere. So this is the point, eh? The real man, that's why I kind of went into that idiocy and moronic matter. The real man, do you understand? Listen to me, he's not nice. I'm not saying he's wicked, though. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You will wake up in the morning, you are finished dressing. Nah, 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 nah. What's happening? Oh, yes, marrying today. You say, we are not going.